Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. John the Baptist introduced the concept of water baptism. The act of being immersed in water was synonymous with repentance and probably originated with the Essenes, a sect of Israelites known for their piety. John was surprised when the Son of God approached him to be baptized. Yet the God-man was insistent, and the rest of the Godhead declared their approval when the act was completed. Water baptism would become one of the ordinances set forth by Jesus for the church, with many examples found throughout the New Testament. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today we're going to be talking about water baptism. I know that this is a basic thing in Christianity, but water baptism is an important part of the Christian church. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for ministering to me. Help me, Father God, to convey what you want to say today. And I just want to praise you and bless you right now for anointing myself, anoint everyone giving and listening, Father God, that, Lord, they would simply have an understanding today that will be deeper than they had before. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just go through this here. Be pretty well written out here. Where is the origin of water baptism? To my knowledge, and I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, I haven't seen any pagan religion. I do know the Hindus. They like to go to the Hindu River, and they kind of bathe there to cleanse themselves. In the Old Testament, there was no one was being baptized. So there's no place in the Old Testament which instructed Israelites to practice water baptism by immersion. According to Roman and Jewish historical records, there was a resurgence among the Jews who wanted a closer relationship with God 200 years before Christ. A group emerged from this movement that became known as the Essenes. And very few people have heard about the Essenes. You heard about Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, the high priest, and the scribes. But the Essenes was a group of people, less than 100,000 or 200,000 people at the time of Jesus. They were known for their piety and preaching repentance marked with water baptism. Now, Nehemiah was the last ruler appointed by God for the group of Jews which returned from Babylon in 473 to 403. Judah and Jerusalem were ruled by the Seleucids until the Romans defeated them in 63 B.C. And the Maccabean revolt started during the time period from 167 to 134. This was a very troubled time for the Jewish people. There were those that were zealots, those that were the Maccabeans. They wanted to kick the Romans out. They wanted to restore the kingdom of Israel. There was a lot of problems and upheaval. Now, the Essenes, they simply rejected violence, and they wanted no part of the political power. That's why you don't read about them in the New Testament, because they did not go to Jerusalem. They didn't go to the temple. They simply were by themselves. They withdrew from society, lived in scattered communes, most of them located in a desert or the Dead Sea area. The Essene movement emerged in the second century before Christ, and even though they were not violent, they were targeted and killed by the Romans after destruction of the temple in AD 70. None of them survived. Now, the Essenes set up the doctrine of water baptism for repentance of sins. It was a ritual cleansing that involved immersing the person being baptized under water. Some historical scholars believe that John the Baptist had at some point been involved with the Essenes, and he adopted water baptism and incorporated it into his own ministry. I believe that the Holy Spirit moved upon these Jewish people that were be called Essenes. And I'll tell you why. And this is what I call a divine appointment. Back in about 1946, 1947, in the valley of the Dead Sea, there was a shepherd boy that was out there with a flock of sheep. And as he was walking up and down, and there were caves that was not really mountains, but hills, and he was bored. And he took a rock, and he threw that into a cave. And then he did it a second time. And then he heard something broken, like a clay pot. So he said, well, this is weird. So he walked into the cave, and he found he had broken a clay pot. And inside the clay pot was a scroll. He immediately ran to the person that owned the sheep and told him what he found. And this man, he notified the authorities in the area, said that we think we found some archaeological treasures. So we had people come down that were involved in archaeology. They roped the area off, and they started searching. And they found in this cave and a couple other caves a number of clay pots, each containing scrolls. The scrolls were old. They were more than 2,000 years old. So they were taken to Jerusalem, and they realized we can open them once. We cannot go back and forth. They would not hold. So for the next 2-3 years, they painstakingly opened them up, photographed each page, and then finally they got everything done, and they found out that these scrolls contained the Old Testament books, except one, the Book of Esther. These scrolls now dated back to about 150 to 200 years before Christ. I believe that God simply had preserved these, because in the 1800s, we had a movement called Higher Criticism, started in Germany. And these so-called scholars, they simply came out and said, well, we can't rely upon the Old Testament. It is not reliable. There's been so many changes. And so they begin to destroy the Old Testament. And so pastors and others going to the seminaries, they learned that. And so the doubt was now in, can the Old Testament be trusted? They questioned Moses, Abraham, and everything else. Daniel, Ezekiel. From about 1950 and on, scholars pored over these photographs. And they compared them with, we had the Old Testament writing from Egypt, and we had them also from Israel, different texts. And they also compared them with the King James Version. And guess what? The Dead Sea Scrolls validated that the Old Testament, almost verbatim, is accurate. I believe that God simply used the Essenes to start water baptism, but he also used them to preserve their scrolls, so that some 2,000 years later, the scoffers could be silenced, and we could simply say, we can trust in the Bible. And that's a gift that the Essenes gave us. I believe they gave us two gifts, water baptism and the Dead Sea Scrolls. Back to the outline now. Matthew recorded a meeting that took place between Jesus and John the Baptist at the beginning of the God-man's ministry. And Jesus traveled to the place at the Jordan River where John was baptizing, and he asked to be baptized. His cousin refused and told Jesus that it was he, not the Son of God, who needed to be baptized. Nevertheless, John complied with Jesus' request, and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit declared their approval as God the Son submitted to the ordinance of baptism. And we read here from the scripture. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answers unto him, Suffer it be not so, for thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I just read now Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. So Jesus was about 30 years old when this took place, and he came down to the River Jordan, and he was baptized by immersion, and then he was brought up again from the water. Water baptism is a next step for the person that's been born again, or saved, or receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, receive salvation. This is nothing new if one grew up in a Christian family, but for someone unfamiliar with the act, it might seem a little strange. There are certain things, like the five fundamentals, the deity of Christ, virgin birth, blood atonement, bodily resurrection, and the inerrancy of the scriptures, that are non-negotiable when it comes to the Christian faith. Now, I remember myself, I was baptized in water by immersion in 1966. I grew up in Sweden. I was a Lutheran. I was sprinkled at about 4 or 5 days old. And I went through the Lutheran faith. I was confirmed, like the Catholic Church. And so to me, water baptism was very strange. I also went to Sunday school at the Mission Covenant Church, and they didn't baptize any people. They didn't believe in that. They sprinkled babies. And I remember in Salt Lake City, 1966, that the pastor said, "Have you been baptized in water by immersion?" I said, "No." He took scriptures, read them, and my wife and I decided we're going to be baptized. I remember standing in, it was a baptistry we had in the church building. And as I stood there, a great fear came over me. And a thought came in my mind. Are you abandoning your forefathers? Are you abandoning the people you came from? And I rejected it. And then the pastor baptized me. There was a resistance that was there. It didn't make me any more saved. But I felt good afterwards because I had been obedient to Jesus. So water baptism was an ordinance instituted by Jesus that had nothing to do with salvation. It is an act of obedience to declare that you are not part of the kingdom of God, boldly sharing this information with the world and even angels. In Matthew 28:18-20, we read this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. If Jesus said it, we should believe it. I just read to you the Great Commission. It's the only passage of the Bible where Jesus mentioned water baptism. It was a command, and he expects us to follow his instructions. Now, the baptism of repentance. When you're baptized, you're not baptized into a denomination or a church, but into Christ. Now, the Catholics, you're baptized into the Catholic Church. Same with the Lutherans. Most Baptist churches, you're baptized into that local church. But this is not true. In Acts 2:41a, we read this. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized. In Acts 8:2, we read this. But when they believed Philip, preaching a thing concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There are no references to the water baptism in the Old Testament. It was John the Baptist that introduced water baptism to the Jewish people. Let's read the scripture here from Matthew. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea that flocked to him, and all the region about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." I just read Matthew 3:1-6. Now the question comes, what age should a person get baptized? Definitely, we should not baptize babies, because water baptism is a sign that you have accepted Christ. So we want the person to receive Christ, to be born again, before being baptized. Is there an age limit? I don't think so. I have seen a child 5 years old, very mature, having been saved, praying to Jesus, loving Jesus, talking about Jesus, and being baptized. I see children 10 years old, 12, 13, and so on. It all depends upon your maturity, that you know what you are doing. When a child understands that I'm a sinner, because children know that they got temper, they get angry, they lie, they hit somebody, they hurt siblings, other people. So it is easy to explain to a child that, you know, we are sinners, you are a sinner. That Jesus paid for your sins on the cross, and that he wants to save you. So children do get saved at an early age. Now there's many churches that simply teach that you've got to be of a certain age. You've got to be 15 years old. You've got to be 18 years old. You've got to be 21 years old, whatever it is. They put an age limit on it. Listen closely now. This is not in the Bible. The Bible does not put an age limit on it. It simply says this. When a person has accepted Christ, understand it, they are to be baptized. What happens if you're not baptized in water? It doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. It is simply this, that you're missing out on the blessings. You are disobedient. You might be disobedient because you don't understand. When we have communion in our church here, we allow children that are old enough to have accepted Christ, and we allow them to take communion. But for some reason, some churches do not allow them to be baptized in water. So if this goes home with you, you should think about it, where you are at. Back to the outline here now. Water baptism with the early church was known as a baptism of repentance, because it represented turning from sin in a public manner. Mark 1:4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, John the Baptist was known for baptizing people in the Jordan River, hence a title that was added to his name. Jesus was baptized by John at the onset of his ministry. Mark 1:9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. The God man was baptized even though he was not a sinner, but humbled himself to provide an example to follow. In Mark 1:10-11, we read this. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus fulfilled all things. Now, water baptism is not just a symbol of Christianity, rather represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, allowing Christians to identify with the redemption work of our Savior. In Romans 6:3-5, we read this. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I've baptized a lot of people over the years. And What I've done is simply this, that I tell people this, that when we go now to this place, we are going to have a funeral. When you're lowered into the water, first of all, you lose control. When a person is baptized, you lose control. I put an arm around them like this, I hold their hands, and then I forcefully put them under until I see that everything is covered, they're down under. And then I'll bring them up. I said, when you go under the water for a second or two, you can't breathe. It represents your death. When I bring you up, it represents the resurrection, that someday you will be resurrected. You have your body resurrected. It is an act of obedience. Angels are watching always. The devil and fallen angels, the demons are watching. It is a testimony that you are saying this. I have accepted Christ. I'm not going to die. I'm going to be resurrected. And I have now baptized into Jesus. I never baptized people into a church. I told them, you're baptized into Christ, his body. On page, let me read Romans 6 here. Know you not that so many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him with baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also the likeness of his resurrection. Jesus wants everyone to be baptized in water. A horse pulls a cart, but it does not push it. Likewise, one cannot be baptized without being born again. That would be like putting a cart in front of the horse. Let's look now at some early church examples. Water baptism serves as an outward expression of your personal commitment to Christ. The early church was willing to publicly identify with the God-man's death and resurrection. John the Baptist baptized anyone who was willing to repent. Mark 1:5. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 new believers were baptized. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added to them about 3,000 souls. The Samaritans that believed were baptized. In Acts 8:12 we read this. But when they believed Philip preaching a thing concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. And you wonder, what in the world did a guy from Africa do up in Jerusalem? I'm just going to give you a tidbit. When King Solomon was king, there was a kingdom in Ethiopia, and there was a queen called Sheba. And she had heard about Solomon, and she decided to travel to Jerusalem. Of course, she didn't travel alone. She probably had a couple of thousand soldiers with her. She had servants. She had horses, camels. It was an entourage. There was probably about 5,000 to 10,000 people that came to Jerusalem. And the queen was well known in the world at that time. So King Solomon was very happy to meet with her and talk with her. And Queen Sheba converted to the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And she actually converted to, well, it was not called Judaism then, but called to the Old Testament faith that later became known as Judaism. She went back with her entourage, Ethiopia, and for the next 1,000 years, most of the people in Ethiopia became Jewish. They had circumcision. They observed things. And at the feast days, some of the nobles that had money would travel to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And this is where the eunuch came from. He was the finance minister of Ethiopia. And from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse number 36, we read this now. And as they went on their way, this is the Ethiopian now, they came into certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What has hindered me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and eunuch, and he baptized him. The Apostle Paul was baptized at the meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 18, we read this. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Cornelius and other Gentiles were baptized. Book of Acts 10:47. Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Lydia and her household were baptized. And we read here, and when she was baptized in the house, she besought to say, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. The Philippian jailer and his household were baptized. Acts 16:33. And he took them the same hour and the night and washed the stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Many Corinthians were baptized. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. The Ephesians' disciples were baptized. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19:5. Now, about a month ago, a month and a half ago, we had two people living in Florida that came out here for deliverance. And they both claimed they were Christians. So they came out there to spend a week with us. Well, I found out that the woman, she had been saved at an early age as a teenager. But the man had never been saved. So it was a shock for him. He thought, you know, I've been a Christian, you know, for years. I thought I was saved and shown the scriptures. And sure enough, he agreed, you know, I'm not born again. So, that's not a big deal. So we prayed a sinner's prayer with him, if I can use that term. And he was born again. Now, this is winter time here. We're still in the month of April. And we have a pool here that we baptize people in, but it was cold. And I wasn't about to say, well, you know, we better get the pool out here. So the next day, they came to me and said, "We want to be baptized," because she had never been baptized either. Well, God worked it out. They stayed in a hotel, very nice hotel, brand new hotel. They had a pool. And I asked the management if we can do it. And the management said, "Oh, you can find, you can do that." So a few of us, including Carol, went to this hotel, and we got white robes on the candidates, and I stepped out of the water, and I baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it was a powerful, because they could feel the Holy Spirit surge through them as they did this act of obedience. So water baptism is something that didn't get them more saved. But they wanted, Jesus said we should do it, they wanted to obey Jesus. They could have said, well, we would come out in the summertime. We would postpone it a little bit, and then we do it when it's warmer. But they want to do it right now. Now, people think this way, you know. I'm 5 years old, I'm 10 years old, I'm 16 years old, I'm 25, I'm 30. I got a lot of years ahead of me. There's a lot of children dying. There's a lot of young people dying. Just because you're a certain age, don't say, you know, well, I got many years left to go. You don't know. Let me try to illustrate that. I had an uncle. He's with the Lord right now. And he lived in Sweden. And he dated a woman for 25 years. They were engaged for 25 years. And she said, well, when are we going to marry? Oh, soon. You know, we're not in a hurry. Well, 5 years went. 10 years went. Finally, 25 years went. And she realized, this guy's never going to marry me. He's just want to hang around with me. But he has no intention to marry me. So she walked away. It's the same thing. When we are saved, don't postpone it and say, oh, well, someday in the future. Do it now. Back here on the outline on page number 5, what do all these different accounts have in common that we just talked about? Water baptism is for those who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It was the first thing believers did in the early church after confessing their sins and making Jesus Lord in their life. It's a way to express what God has done in your life in the presence of believers and provides evidence of saving faith. For the book of James, chapter 2, verse number 21 to 26, we read the following. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest you then how faith wrought his works, and by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That was from James chapter 2, verses 21 through 26. Water baptism is an act of faith and obedience to the command of Jesus. It was one of the final instructions in the New Testament church. In Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said this, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, we wrote here on the back of this page here, 6. Do you love Jesus? That might seem like an odd question, but the God-man associated love with obedience. We demonstrate our love not just with words, but also with action. Hence, to love Jesus means that we also obey him and follow through with the ordinances of it as he instituted. In John 14:15, we read this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I've told you. Jesus didn't say, well, go and do this work, go this work, and this work, and so on. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, as parents, you know this, that when your children are obedient, it brings joy. When we are in a workplace, you're at work in some place, if you want to stay at that job, you got to be obedient. You can't walk into a job and say, ah, I don't like this rule. I want to have my break at such a time. No, I don't do that kind of work. That's beyond me. I'm too far up for that. If you want to keep a job, you have to be obedient. Unless you're the boss. Understand that? If you drive the car down the road, you got to be obedient. If you're pulled over by a highway patrolman or policeman, you cannot say to that guy, get lost. I don't want to hear. You are interfering with my life. That officer is going to say, get out of the car. Put your hands on the hood. And he's going to be rough with you. You can't tell that officer, shut up. I don't believe in you. I am supreme. I do what I want. If you go to the store and you come down and go to check your stuff out, you don't just go like this, shove everybody aside and go up to the cashier and says, okay, I want to pay for this now. You got five people standing here. You don't do that. We are trained to be obedient. You stand in line, waiting for your turn. Our society functions on obedience. If we all are obedient, all of us are benefiting, everything is working fine. But if you're disobedient, then nothing is working. So the question here is, now, what do you do with it? Well, if you haven't been baptized in water after you've been saved, you should simply go to God and say, this is something I need to do. The Bible says so. And you should simply try to find a place. Now, I just talked to a lady in Florida on the phone. And she said, I want to be baptized. Well, I couldn't baptize here from California over there in Florida. So I simply told her this, try to find a church. I said, try to find a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church. They do baptize people. Call the pastor. And simply say, Pastor, I am born again, but I've never been baptized in water by immersion. Can you help me? If that pastor is a decent man, he would say, sure, I'll meet with you. I want to talk with you, make sure that you're born again. And we will be happy to baptize you into Christ. There have been times you might not have a church around. Now, the Ethiopian, he was not baptized in the church. You're going to have to be baptized in the church. I baptized most of my people either in a lake or in a swimming pool. And if you don't have any place, matter of fact, I have baptized one guy in his bathtub. That was interesting. We filled it up as much as we could. And I told the guy, you know, to just roll up like a ball. And I was watching him. And then I pressed him down. And I got him under water completely. And then I brought him up. And I baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it doesn't have to be in a Baptist with a church. It can be in a bathtub. The main thing is you want to be going under. So I'm not going to beat this horse anymore. I think I beat it pretty good. And it's just a matter of if you haven't been baptized in water, then you should simply do it. Now, if you've been baptized, and I had people that happened to me, they've been baptized in a Mormon church, or they've been sprinkled in a Roman Catholic church, or in a Jehovah's Witness sect. That baptism doesn't count. You need to be baptized in a church that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross, rose on the third day, after his death and resurrection, we can be saved and born again. You want to go to a New Testament church. You don't want to go to the Buddhist, or the Hindus, or the Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. You want a genuine church. The next question is, does it have to be a pastor that baptized you? The answer is no. Any believer in Christ that himself has been baptized in water can baptize another believer. There's no place in the Bible where it says the pastor has to do it, or a deacon has to do it, or an elder has to do it. And when we come into the time of the Antichrist and be out in the wilderness, we're going to be living in a totally different way. So the main thing is this. You know why you want to be baptized. You're born again. The person officiating is a born again believer. It's even going to get worse. You can even have a woman baptize you in water. And some people go, oh, that's sacrilegious. The Bible says that we are one. We're not women or men. We're not Jews or Greeks. We are one in Christ. When you got saved, you are saved. And in heaven, we are told by Jesus, there's not going to be men and women. We're going to be like the angels. It just so happened to be that women, they have children. Men do not have children on earth. But the soul is made in the image of God. There are no male or female souls. We are souls, period. So it's up to you what to do. I tried to explain it as careful as I could. So if you need to take action, take action. Now, you've been watching me today, and you are not born again. And you says, now, how can I be born again? Very simple. If you are convicted of your sins, the Holy Spirit is working with you. What you do then is this. Confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. Believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and that through his death and resurrection I can be saved. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And Jesus will. When we finished here, after the last prayer, the screen would change, three crosses would come up, and you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend. He spent 10 minutes with you. The scriptures, pray with you, and you will know when he's done with you that you are born again. When you do that today, whenever you watch this program, would you contact me, let me know so I can rejoice with you and be praising God with you. What about you that are walking with the Lord? If you're baptized in water, well, think back at a moment that you were, and thank God that you were obedient. If you're not baptized in water by immersion, then simply says, God, we need a change up. Show me when and how, and then do it. In the name of Jesus, God bless you.
Thank you, Lord God, for a sermon today on baptism and what people need to do when they become born again. Don't let it fester in your mind about waiting. You should do it right away. Get the blessings from the Lord. Get everything that he has for you. It's an obedience, and it shows you and helps you to be able to further your life in the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom and how we can serve him better. So we thank you for that sermon. We thank you, Lord God, for helping us and guiding us and directing us in the right way, Lord God. And Father, we just pray and ask you, Lord God, to just watch over us, keep us safe and secure in your arms, Lord God. Put your holy angels around us, watch over us, guide us, and help us. And I just pray that we have a wonderful day today. Lord God, keep everybody safe and secure on the roads, driving, and just give you the praise and honor and glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, The Baptism of Jesus, and was entitled, The Baptism of Repentance. John the Baptist introduced the concept of water baptism when nothing like it previously existed in the Old Testament. The act of being immersed in water was synonymous with repentance, and probably originated with the Essenes, a sect of Israelites known for their piety. John was surprised when the Son of God approached him to be baptized, yet the God-man was insistent, and the rest of the Godhead declared their approval as God the Son submitted to the ritual. Water baptism became one of the ordinances set forth by Jesus for the church, and there are many such examples found throughout the New Testament. Water baptism by immersion will not save you. It is simply an act of obedience to the command of Jesus that all Christians follow His example. The God-man associated love with obedience. Therefore, loving Jesus is synonymous with action, and keeping the ordinance He instituted is what He wants you to do. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 2014. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.